Dr. Fred Jordan testified first and went through the autopsy and the cause of death, asphyxiation by either the belt around the neck or the washcloth stuffed in the mouth, or probably both. The lying began with the second witness, Glenn Gore, who testified that on the night of December 7th, he was at the coach light with some friends, one of whom was Debbie Carter, a girl he'd gone to school with and had known most of his life. At some point during the night, she asked Gore to save her or to rescue her because Ron Williamson was there too, and he was pestering her. He did not see Dennis Fritz at the coach light on December 7th. Under cross-examination, Gore said he told the police about this on December 8th, but their report of his interview does not mention Ron Williamson, nor was their report submitted to the defense as required by the rules of procedure. Thus, Glenn Gore became the only witness with direct evidence against Ron Williamson. By placing him in contact and in conflict with Debbie Carter just hours before her murder, he, technically, established the link between the murderer and his victim. All other evidence was circumstantial. Only a prosecutor as determined as Bill Peterson would be brazen enough to allow a criminal like Glenn Gore anywhere near his case. Gore had been brought to the preliminary hearing in cuffs and chains. He was serving a 40-year prison sentence for breaking and entering, kidnapping, and attempting to kill a police officer. 5 months earlier, Gore had broken into the home of his former wife, Gwen, and taken her hostage, along with his young daughter. He was drunk and for 5 hours held them at gunpoint. When a policeman, Rick Carson, glanced through a window, Gore aimed, fired, and hit Carson in the face. Fortunately, the injuries were not serious. Before sobering up and surrendering, Gore also shot at another police officer. It was not his first violent altercation with Gwen. In 1986, during the unraveling of their rocky marriage, Gore was charged with breaking into Gwen's house and stabbing her repeatedly with a butcher knife. She survived and pressed charges, and Gore faced 2 counts of first-degree burglary and 1 count of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. 2 months earlier, he'd been charged for assaulting Gwen by choking her. In 1981, he'd been charged for forcibly entering the home of another woman. Gore also had an assault and battery charge from his army days and a long list of convictions for petty crimes. 1 week after his name was listed as an additional witness against Ron Williamson, a plea bargain agreement was filed. At the same time, 1 charge of kidnapping and 1 of assault with a dangerous weapon were dismissed. When Gore was sentenced, his ex-wife's parents filed a letter with the court in which they begged for a long prison sentence. It read, in part, "We want you to be aware of how dangerous we feel this man is. He intends to kill our daughter, granddaughter, and ourselves. This he has told us. We have gone to great lengths to make our daughter's home burglar-proof, but all failed. To go into detail all the times he has attacked her would make too lengthy a letter. Please give our daughter enough time to get the child raised before he is out of prison and the terror starts, so the little one never has to live through that again." For years, Barney Ward had suspected that Glenn Gore was involved in the Carter murder. He was a career criminal with a history of violence against women, and he was the last person seen with the victim. It was incomprehensible that the police showed so little interest in Gore. Gore's fingerprints were never submitted to the OSBI for analysis. Prints from a total of 44 people were submitted, but not Gore's. At one point, he agreed to take a polygraph exam, but one was never administered. The Ada police lost the first set of hair samples Gore gave them some 2 years after the murder. He then submitted another set, and perhaps another. No one could remember exactly. Barney, with his uncanny ability to hear and remember the courthouse gossip, firmly believed that Gore should have been investigated by the police. And he knew that his boy, Ronnie Williamson, was not guilty.